Your day has just begun. Yeah. But for DJ and PK, they're just hitting their stride. It's time for all your headlines from the night in sports. As DJ and PK tell you what's trending.
Are you ready?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Yeah. Hashtag college football.
I talked to Craig Thompson, the commissioner of the Mountain West, and he wondered out loud, you know, do we only go with nine if our three California schools can't go, you know, because they're, you know, California's having an issue. By thinking about it, I think he answered that question. They would go with nine out of 12, and I think other conferences would.
Dennis Dodd right there, longtime college football reporter, talking about the issue we were talking about yesterday. What happens if 75% of a conference is ready to play football and the rest isn't? And there you have the answer that we came up with yesterday. They're going to play.
Well, I think that Dennis Dodd was on the Big Show. Am I correct? That's why we're having that from yesterday.
Stuart Mandel was on the Big Show. This was from one of the other Fox shows, I believe.
Okay, there you go. My mistake. But, yeah, if, I don't know why he needs Craig Thompson needs to wonder that. If you can't go, that's you. If the rest of them or any of them can go, that's them.
Can Oregon go? Oregon's governor, Kate Brown, said Thursday that large gatherings at sports or other events in Oregon should either be canceled or significantly modified through September. Of course, that involves the Portland Trailblazers, the Portland Timbers, the Oregon Ducks, the Oregon State Beavers, Oregon Duck football, kind of a big deal, defending Pac-12 champs, have three home games scheduled for September: North Dakota State, Ohio State, and Colorado. And Hawaii. Colorado's on the road. And Hawaii. So they open the season with three straight games at home, and obviously the Ohio State game is a big one. Now, when they say canceled or significantly modified, that leaves open the question, could that Ohio State game be played with no fans? Would that be enough of a modification? So questions remain, but as we get closer, we'll start to get more definitive announcements on what can or can't happen in September.
Well, there's two things I want to bring up here. One, as long as Phil Knight is in the stadium, it's not a building unless it has a roof. So as long as Phil Knight is allowed in, all is well in Oregon land, because that's really all Oregon really cares about. Phil Knight will cover the cost of whatever the fans' price tag would have been. And then secondly, you know, I'm not a political person. I'm not registered in either political party. But what's this gal's name? Kate Brown, you said?
Yes.
I heard about it yesterday, but her name, Kate Brown, I didn't bother to look it up. But just, I'm just wondering here, now how much is politics going to play or is playing a factor in this? And I would bet all sorts of money that Kate Brown is a Democrat. Just, I have no idea. But I'd sort of, that is my guess. And I know that, you know, most people, or some people wouldn't want to raise that question, but I'm going to raise it. How much of this is now politics? And is Kate Brown a Democrat? Because I'm guessing she is.
I'm guessing she is, too. I would think the governor as well. I know the governor of California is, and Washington is, and I think Oregon is, too.
So, and all these restrictions, are they going to be lifted on November 5th there, or whatever that Wednesday is? Come on. I think it's worthy of discussion. Not necessarily saying it's one thing or the other, but it's worthy of discussion. What's the goal here? Or what's one of the goals? Yeah, I think we know what one of the goals is.
You were right. She is a Democrat.
Of course she is.
But it was the Republican governor of Texas who just extended the shutdown in Texas and kept the Houston Rockets off the court. So
yeah, that's a practice. That's not in September.
It's true. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh wrote an open letter Thursday addressed to the college football community, laying out a proposal that would provide more flexibility for players who consider making the jump to pro football despite still having college eligibility. We can go on. It's a really long thing. But I think the most important point in the plan is the player would be allowed to enter the draft and return to school if he's not picked in the seven rounds of the draft.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't we have that? Why does college have rules that benefit the pros? College needs to have rules that benefits the colleges.
Well, I think the part of the rule that the college coaches like is they definitely know who's on their roster. Now, that's kind of a thing that can change every year, because one year you could have a lot of guys declare and you're like, well, that would be a lot of question marks to wait on while I'm recruiting and trying to figure out how many scholarships I have. But on the other hand, I get a lot of talent back. So I can see year for year how one year could benefit a school and another year maybe not so much.
Well, I'm not talking about rules that benefit the college coaches. I'm talking about rules that benefit the college kids. I don't give a crap about the college coaches. Harbaugh is making close to $10 million. I don't care what his problems are relative to the roster. I'm worried about the student-athlete here or the player, whatever you want to call him or her. So I don't care about Harbaugh's roster uncertainty. It doesn't matter to me. It's what benefits the kid. I think that's where we need to go.
DJ and PK.
Hashtag NFL.
I love it. You know, I love the expectations and the excitement that that brings. I think our players will enjoy it. And you know, as coaches, you have to embrace it and get ready for it. And, you know, I think our guys are going to be really, really excited about the season.
Bruce Arians right there, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucs. Everybody wants to see what the Bucs have now that they have Brady and they have Gronk. And they're going to face Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints week one. Second game of the Fox doubleheader right out of the gate. How good are the Bucs? How good are the Saints? They're going to be fighting for that division title in the South, and then who knows, they might be meeting again in the playoffs with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. Buccaneers have maximum 5 primetime games. I think that surprises nobody. Of course they do.
This is crazy, you know, because I did something last night. We're jumping ahead a little bit by 50 minutes. But part of the deal, and we can get to it, although I watched some other stuff that I want to get to, I would never do this time of year. I've watched guys, Ryan Clark and who's the other guy, Lewis Riddick, guys breaking down the schedules of several different teams. And I have to admit, the game that you just mentioned, I got way excited for. And when you just mentioned it again, I got excited for it, and I'm listening, you know, the NFC, the portion I watched was NFC West, and they're going through all those schedules, the four teams, you know, and they have that division has a chance to be pretty good. It was already good, and the Cardinals assume they're going to be better with Murray. He's a young, exciting player, and Hopkins they got, and Fitzgerald, and so forth and so on. So I'm really intrigued by that, and I'm thinking, this is crazy, man. I watched 5 rounds of the draft nonstop a couple weeks back. Here I am watching this stuff. I got way excited for the NFL, and I'm sure you're on the same page as me. You know, we're hoping that the schedule can be played in its entirety. That what's-his-face Goodell said they've got all sorts of options.
Different options, different plans.
Yeah.
Based on where they may or may not be able to play football and if they can or can't have fans and if they have to move two or four games to the end of the schedule.
Yeah, so if they can start in week 6, alternatives I think is the word I was looking for. You can just, if they start week 7, well then they'll just start week 7 and play 1 through 6 later on, blah, blah, blah. You know, none of us hope that. And thinking about watching Tom Brady and Drew Brees, two guys over 40, and Brady, you know, I would still stay arguably the best quarterback, but the winning certainly clinches it. Lining up and playing with another team, and Bruce Arians, who's one of the most colorful, quotable coaches that we have in the NFL. Yeah, it's like, wow, this is super exciting, and you can bet whenever. Hopefully when it's scheduled as playing right now, that game is played, my butt will be sitting in front of the television watching it.
Saints are going to be in Vegas week 2 to open Allegiant Stadium, Raiders Saints, and I saw people on Twitter planning trips. Well, BYU's playing down there in Arizona on Saturday, and the Cardinals are home on Sunday, and the Raiders are home on Monday. Yeah, right? And then people are like, do you know how expensive it's going to be to get into the Raiders' first home game in Vegas?
Yeah.
I would think huge, but I would think that one of the last things to come back here, and I can't imagine it'll come back by September, is people getting on airplanes, traveling, and staying in hotels for fun. I would think that whatever the number of people who would do that in, you know, last September is going to be way down this September. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be back. But that would eliminate a lot of the crowd because I think the Raiders, they got to have models. I mean, are 20% or 40% of their fans going to come from out of town? You know, people who come from L.A., come from Oakland, come from Salt Lake, you know, fly in from wherever to have the you know, 20-year college reunion, all the buddies meet up or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that they'll be just fine on that. There's enough Southern Californians who can jump on the freeway and get there in a decent amount of time.
But not get back because we've been stuck in those traffic jams.
Then you come back the next day. I don't know that you'd want to come back that day anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it depends on what's happening with Vegas itself and how open Vegas is. I think that determines it because I don't think people are going to fly in for a Raider game. They're going to fly in for a Vegas extended weekend. That's part of Raider game is part of it. So we have to see what's going on with the city. Hopefully for the city's sake. I could tell you, you know, my sisters are big gamblers, and I've told you that. So they get
comps. They get free rooms.
Yeah, and they get concert tickets that like Planet Hollywood or. At Caesar's Palace. It's, you know, some really good shows because I've gone where they comp me and they're sitting in the third row for free and I'm up top that I had to pay for. And more than once. But anyway, my sister was talking to my wife yesterday and she was my sister was telling her that they had tickets. She didn't say the show. I don't remember the show. Well, she didn't say it. But she noticed in her checking account you have to put like a deposit on it to hold it, and for the show in September, that got refunded for some concert.
Hmm.
So there, whatever that concert was in September, I don't know the artist. That deposit that you have to put on in order to get the stuff to make sure you're interested, that had been refunded to her account.
Well, back to your earlier point about how much of this is health stuff and then how much of this is politics, the mayor in Vegas, I mean, she had that controversial press conference a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
we're open for business, right? And so, I mean, Vegas is open, but are people, you know, politicians can say whatever they want, but they're not going to make people travel. And Nevada has turned to a blue state. I don't know much about her. I assume she's a Democrat, but I don't know. So you
I think she ran as an independent, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. So, but money impacts everything, and when you're a tourist-based economy like Vegas is, you just get crushed by this.
Devastating.
So I'd imagine Vegas would be open. I just don't know how much desire there would be on the part of the public. You know, to travel. And maybe you're right. Maybe it'll just be L.A. and Salt Lake people because they can drive, right? San Diego, too, I guess. Phoenix. So you get fans there. But what you don't get is, you know, a bunch of people flying in from Chicago. And maybe they do get the people who can drive in and out who are like, I'm going to do it in and out in one day, or I'll risk one night in a hotel that's probably been mostly empty for a week anyway. And that's different than going to the airport and being at hotels for two or three nights, which I think is what a normal Vegas Raider weekend is going to end up looking like down the road.
What was weird is that, you know, and I saw those comments because it was a big deal when she made them. Jimmy Kimmel said she should resign immediately. And she didn't have any jurisdiction over the Strip. It's not part of the city of Vegas, I guess.
Oh, really?
That was bizarre when I read that.
It's a separate own entity?
Yeah. Let's look that up. It was crazy. I didn't realize that.
I mean, people look at Salt Lake and think it's Salt Lake, but it's South Salt Lake and it's West Valley, and I don't know where Vegas starts and ends. I don't know what's incorporated. Unless there's a sign, I wouldn't possibly know when you'd crossed into whatever suburb. When they say North Las Vegas, is that part of Vegas, or is it its own thing like South Salt Lake is its own thing from Salt Lake? I don't even know that.
North Vegas is its own city. I know
right.
that.
And
yeah, I guess the Strip is just controlled by the mob, and they said, forget you, we're not giving it to you.
Canadian Football League Commissioner Randy Ambrosi says most likely scenario is to cancel the season. Ours is a big brand, but not a wealthy business. Unlike large U.S.-based leagues, our biggest source of revenue is not TV, it's ticket sales. So no point in the Canadian Football League playing in front of empty stands, I guess. All right, DJ and PK.
Hashtag NBA.
How optimistic are you, or pessimistic are you about there being a season completed?
Well, I'm an optimist by nature, so I feel like we're going to have an opportunity to finish the season. I'm very well aware that there is a possibility that it does not happen.
Zoom conferences right there. I don't know if you could tell, but that was Frank Vogel, the Lakers coach. Everybody kind of hoping it happens, expecting something will happen, but well aware that that just may not be the case. Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni says he's got no reservations about being on the sideline if the NBA season resumes. Now, he's 69, second oldest coach in the NBA to Greg Popovich, who's 71, and obviously we've heard all the statistics about people over 65 and over 70 and more at risk. And D'Antoni says, yep, I'm good. Surprise you at all, PK?
No. No, not at all. D'Antoni looks like he's in great shape. So he looks like he's healthy. He's a basketball coach, and he's 69. Yeah. So he can't do this much longer. And whatever it is that you can't do when time is running out becomes more valuable to you and becomes more precious. And so I think that that's what he wants to do. And so, you know, when they get there, they'll take every precaution that you could possibly take. And the overwhelming statistics indicate you're not going to die. But, you know, if you are the one who dies, the statistics don't mean anything to you. So, no, that doesn't surprise me. You know, usually now this time of year, sports weekends are sensational. But I think now we don't have live sports going on. We don't have any sports going on for that matter. I think one of the joys of the weekends now that's brought to me, besides, of course, The Last Dance, is that I no longer, for 2 days anyway, or at least Saturday, because I do TV on Sunday, but on Saturday I don't have to discuss if fill-in-the-blank league is going to start and when it's going to start and if fans are going to be allowed in.
Several GMs and trainers have pointed to a number of players. They say it's not a large percentage, but there are several of them who they would describe as germaphobes. Those team officials say there are several executives and other league staffers in the same position, and the folks who are germaphobes really worried about coming back. So, see how that plays out, but I think everyone's assuming that when it comes back, they'll their skin may be crawling, but they'll come back too.
Yeah, but could it be a situation where if you don't want to come back and you don't want to go to work and you don't want to leave out of your house, go out of your house, then don't.
I think there will be some of that, and then inevitably we'll see some high-profile cases about should people keep their jobs or, you know, what'll happen. And that won't just be a sports thing. All right, DJ and PK.
Hashtag college basketball.
NCAA enforcement staff said Kansas basketball committed egregious and severe rules violations that significantly undermine and threaten the NCAA collegiate model. And alleged that Bill Self and assistant Curtis Townsend, quote, embraced, welcomed, and encouraged, close quote, Adidas employees and consultants to influence high-profile recruits to sign with Kansas. Jayhawks are charged with five Level 1 rules violations. The most serious includes lack of institutional control. Is this the last of the big high-profile cases, PK? Because if players get to make money off their image, well, then apparel companies can help them do that, and stuff like this would just go away. It would go from being the biggest thing to completely legal.
Well, I'd have to see what exactly is under the heading of institutional control, but I don't think Kansas is going to be the last one. I think we're going to see something with Arizona, too.
DJ and PK.
Hashtag Major League Baseball.
Bryce Harper is upset that Major League Baseball players cannot play in the Olympics. Quote, it is such a travesty to me. The 2020 Olympics in Japan, and you're not sending big league guys? Are you kidding me? You want to grow the game as much as possible, and you're not going to let us play in the Olympics because you don't want to lose out on money for a two-week period? Okay, that's dumb. Can you imagine being in a foreign country, standing on the line, listening to your anthem blare? Dude, there is nothing better. It fires me up sitting here. There's nothing better. Close quote.
I like it.
Two things. One, they are freaked out by the amount of money they'd lose shutting down and sending players to the Olympics, which is what the NHL did for several games and what basketball hasn't had to do because of the way the Olympics has fallen with their calendar. And everybody saw how much money the NBA made off the Dream Team. That was big time for them. But I think also looming out there is the drug testing standards are much tougher in the Olympics than they are in Major League Baseball. A little bit of fear as players go test positive and set off another round of accusations and negative stories. So they, when they create the World Cup, which happens every 4 years, and you get to stand on the baseline and listen to your anthem blare, they control the testing rules there, and they also control the timing of the tournament so that it doesn't interrupt, you know, right in the middle of the summer when everything's rolling.
Oh, I think there could be enough players who could pass, because if you know you're going to be involved in that, then tell them you don't want to play. That solves that issue. So you know whether you're clean or not, despite everyone who's ever been busted saying, well, I didn't realize that. I didn't knowingly do this or that. Yeah, it's a bunch of BS. Of course you did. And so there's plenty of players out there, and they can push the season back every 4 years, a couple of weeks. When the Diamondbacks and Yankees played, the end of the world didn't happen. In fact, you had a new moniker when I think Derek Jeter hit a game-winning home run in November, and he became Mr. November, and that was a cool nickname there for a little bit. So I agree with him, man. He's a young guy. He's going to turn 28 in October, so he's getting up there. He's getting into the prime of his MLB career. But one of the things is that we hear the average age of the baseball fans, 142, and he's a younger dude. And you just using the word dude indicates that he's a younger dude. And with that in mind, if he's excited about playing, he's an entertaining fellow. He can turn a strikeout into something crazy when he throws down his helmet and screams at the umpire and blah, 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 blah. So he attracts people. So I think they should. Why not? I mean, you already brought up what the Dream Team did and actually got the 9 or 8 best players and some good pitchers out there. It would be fun. It would draw attention to the sport, and everybody tells us this is a dying sport. So I agree with them.
What is Trending is brought to you by Shamrock Plumbing. Receive a free reverse osmosis system with the purchase of any water softener at Shamrock Plumbing. 801-295-1690. That's Shamrock Plumbing. Coming up, David Locke will be here at 8 o'clock. Ben Bolch covers the UCLA Bruins for the LA Times. Our spring football tour continues at 9:30. Stay with us. DJ and PK, it's 97.5 at 1280 The Zone.